CosmicRadio.tv. This podcast would be nothing without our patrons, so special thanks goes out to them. Want to join their ranks and support independent content? Head to our Patreon at patreon.com/8bitlife. Hello and welcome to the fine edition of my so-called 8-Bit Life. I'm your host, Roberto Vegas. Joining me today, Chrissy Cates, musician extraordinaire. How's it going, Christy?
Hi, Roberto. I'm so glad to see you. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, likewise. No, of course. Well, I mean, you're still, I think you still hold technically the rank or the, like, if there's an award of shows when it comes to, like, things that become strange concepts, like Rick Foster, you know, Rick Foster, friend of the show, holds the ranking for most times on the show, I think, or at least most clutch times on the show. Patrick is, I think, a close second in that regard of, like, I need a guest. Patrick, come on. But you still hold the rank, in my opinion, for... And it's such a weird thing to say when it comes to this show, for most oddball episode where there was no plan whatsoever, where I don't even know how we got where we got to. And for those who have no idea we're talking about, so last time, I think last time you were on, Christy, it might have been, right, yeah. I think it was last time, right? Yeah. Just to kind of touch on this, because I think it's so funny. Christy opens up talking about this concept, you know, that she was at a store and there is this like Christmas tree decoration that played Halloween sounds because someone had did it wrong. Yep. And then evolved into an entire product chain of this universal holiday tree that would be, you know, that would cover everything and you could configure. And that became the whole episode. Like there was no going left or right. It was just like that was the episode. And that wasn't even the plan, and somehow we got there, and it wasn't even like it became the thing, and it was funny because like after we're done, Chrissy's like, okay, seriously, like can we make this happen? Like that's actually a real thing, right? It's like, sure, why
it's like,
not?
I'm seeing dollar signs, Roberto. I think we can do this.
Yeah, and it was again, it's strange because now we come back and it's next year. We're now in we're approaching July. Things are happening. And you've now gone.
It's almost 4th of July. That's when you need the universal holiday tree is for a holiday like 4th of July, Roberto.
Well, with I don't know if you need. If you need like, I guess what I'm trying to say is you might not need the universal holiday tree anymore, Miss Twitch streamer extraordinaire.
Okay.
Well,
I
guess what I'm saying because okay, for those who have no idea what we're talking about, especially if you're new to the show or you're new to the world of Christy Cates here, Christy Cates is. You know, I have many musician friends, and I've started to realize that now, as time has gone on and stuff like that. But it's funny because only so many of my music friends are starting to really tap into the live performance thing. And I think you're one of my few friends that have figured out how to do live music performance right.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice of you.
And I say that, and for those, again, for those who don't know, Christy Cates, like, is a musician, and she started recently going into, I guess you're doing Twitch, not full-time, but, like, as a weekly sort of thing. Go into detail for that, just to kind of, you know, explain everything.
Sure. Well, I mean, I've been playing music for a really long time. I started playing guitar when I was 12 and started writing songs, and it's something I've always done. It's something I've always wanted to do. I kind of feel like that's when I'm... you know, the thing that I want to do for a career. And of course, musicians don't make money right away, as many people know. So you have to kind of do a lot of other things. So I do writing, do some podcasting. But a lot of people for a long time were saying, you should go on Twitch and perform music. And I thought, well, I kind of want to sit and think about this before I do it. I don't want to just jump into it. So I watched a lot of streams and saw a lot of people and they're kind of sitting in their room or they're sitting in the living room or at their desk and playing music. And it's perfectly cool. And I thought, you know, I kind of want to do this more like it's more of a show. So, you know, it's more like I can invite people in to like say, come see the show and make requests and want to make it kind of look a little more staged and a little more fancy, I guess. So you feel like it's actually kind of like an occasion that you're going to go see this. So I'm starting with just one night a week. It's Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm going to be adding a second one because the first one is just so much fun. I want to do a second one. So
well, I think that's like the way to approach it, because it's funny when we talk about music, and especially now, you know, one of the things that kind of comes up, especially for a lot of the kind of geekier musics or even in indie music, is, hey, is it going to be live streamed? You know, can I watch it without being there? Because a lot of times you have these events and they're part of, what was your, like, I think we talked about this before, but like, what was your, you remember your first concert? I think everyone does. Like me, I think technically my first concert was actually a Rod Stewart concert with my parents, but the first one I like consciously remember is Billy Joel. That kind of thing. But you know, we all remember those sort of moments. And as we start getting into this culture of where a lot of people don't necessarily go to performances, either because their town doesn't have them or because their friends aren't really into music in the way that they are. Right. I think having that kind of collective feeling of music and sort of having that approach of how we talk about music is important. And I think, like, because you're not just playing in your room, you know, or I mean, you are, you know, it is a, your hat, you know,
technically,
but because you make it feel like it's a coffee shop, it's this sort of thing, it's the stage, it's a performance, like, again, it's such a subtle thing. And it's something I've noticed because I've started watching other music streams, like adding that reverb, like that sort of, like, it feels like I'm in a coffee shop. Like, it's just a subtle audio touch, because, you know, no one else does that, or no one I've seen does it. But adding that just slight reverb is like, oh, there's some ambiance. There's acoustics in this room, even though it's, you know, virtualized or whatever, even if it's just the room itself. But it's the idea of even approaching with the idea of, like, was that your idea to sort of think of adding the sort of reverb at all? Or was that just sort
of? Yeah, and I mean, I'm actually like, it's really cool hearing you say all this stuff, because I'm really happy that someone noticed it outside of just like, and of course, you always appreciate, like, oh, it was a really great show. I really enjoyed that. That was really nice. Just great. But you're actually picking it apart a little bit, which is cool, because I actually did put a lot of thought into it. And I mean, it's not like,
I'm only laughing just because, like, I'm glad someone's noticing that. Yeah, because that was the first thing I caught, was like, oh, there's some reverb here. That's interesting. Yeah. No one does that. No one does the idea of how do you make this show that. I mean, because every now streamer has the whole, you know, bits, you know, tip jar kind of thing. But even that itself is part of the, you know, the coffee shop thing. And for those who've never, ever been to, you know, a local coffee shop show, a lot of times there's a tip jar there. There's something there. It's like, you know, pop a buck kind of thing. You know, you have the album side maybe. But it's very much this sort of thing. And there's certain characteristics that if you've been to those shows, you know, and it's things like reverb. And not because reverb is something there, it's just because you're in a freaking, you know, there's a small amplifier, it's going to hit the room, you're going to have this sort of thing. And that was like the first thing I noticed was that. I was like, oh, she's adding, interesting, you know, because
that's cool.
Because I'm so used to hearing, you know, audio in, you know, we talk about digital audio, and as much as I love a lot of that, the digital side of things, I love the convenience of that. A lot of times it's a very clean source, you know, it's clean, it's either level.
Well, and see, and that's interesting you say that too, because that was actually the trick of it, is I didn't want to have so much reverb that they're like, oh, you know, is she like nervous about singing, or can she actually not sing? So she's kind of burying her vocals. So I had to be really careful the levels I used, because I would like people to hear my actual voice, but I just wanted a little bit more in there. I watched a ton of streamers. I found some really cool people with amazing voices, but they're all doing it flat, and their vocals are dry. The guitar is dry. So it's missing something. And it took me a couple weeks to actually dig around before I was even streaming yet, to fuss around with the mixer and just listen back. And I was literally just doing what I'm doing now in the stream, but it was just me in the living room without streaming and recording, you know, like 3 minute bits of it, and then playing it back and watching, going, okay, I need to change this and change this. And that light looks weird. I'm going to move that over here. And reverb needs to be adjusted. And it took like probably 2 weeks of just like in my off hours fussing with it to get it kind of to where I wanted, and it's still not perfect. It probably will never be, because that's just how I am. But
even again, know, even close. Thinking of that approach, and I think that's what's the interesting part for me is watching these streams and how people approach them, because everyone has tactics. And I was a very interesting touch, because it's something that I think someone that's been in the music scene would do, not just simply the creating music, but performing music and experiencing live music. Because that's something that, like I said, is kind of getting lost in this idea of everything being, you know, live streamed, where it's like, there's a chat room and people aren't quite remembering. not because of anything bad. It's just that's
oh,
life.
Not at all. No.
But I like that you're doing that. Like that's
Thank
one
you.
Of those weird things, because you know, and that's not simply else she's doing. You know, for those who are kind of new to this, but like we've talked earlier in the sort of pre-show, but the idea of backgrounds, like you know, like in my sort of case, I tend to include trinkets from my travels and sort of mm-hmm. things like that. Either the book, you know, the bookshelf over there, or the you know posters behind me, and even like behind me, just to kind of you know pull the curtain down. There's a lot more of a music skew on the posters versus the other side, which is less of a more of a geek skew, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Except for the mother two sort of things. But you, like for you, like even something as and maybe you can you could talk about this, especially when it came to the sure. set design of that. Like I even noticed there's a little bit of depth to your background, like the way you do this stuff. Like it feels like there's like you know like the walls further back. It almost feels like sometimes it's angled. Maybe that's just me kind of catching on certain things. And
it's not angled. I just like I mean I've been doing this a while and I've worked a bit in film and stuff. So I'm a bit of a sponge. I tend to if I'm doing a project like film, I'll tend to like poke the lighting guys and the grips and be like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? What's going on? What do you you know?" Just because I like to learn things. Maybe I'll use it later. Maybe it's just like a fun thing that I. You know, a fun trivia thing I learned, who knows, but I just learned a bit about how to light and create more of a, I don't know, like kind of like what you said, just create depth behind me and to add a little bit of shadow. So it's not just a flat light. So it feels like you're up on something and it really is just, it's in my flat. I mean, it's not, I don't go anywhere fancy to do it, but it was nice. Cause in like the second or third show I did, someone said, "Oh, what studio are you doing this from?" And I was like, caught off guard. And I was like, "Sorry, what?" And they're like,
"Yeah,
what?
No, that's the thing. It doesn't feel, and I guess that's the approach of like, you know, making an event of it. It doesn't feel like you're playing in your flat. It's not, you know, just some room in your apartment. It's, this is the coffee shop that you just have me live streaming at today.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And it's such a weird, again, it's a very subtle touch because it's something that, you know, your casual viewer is not going to catch consciously, which is, I guess, the point. The idea is to make it so that no one catches it. No one kind of sees this sort of trickery. I mean, the idea behind making a produced piece of content is sort of, you know, lying to the audience. I say that as a joke, but more the idea that, you know, if you have this stream thing, like make it look like you're somewhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of that requires like going like, okay, let me think of the audio. Let me think of that. Because even certain things, I guess what we can chat now about the format of it, just because I'm so fascinated by this idea. A lot of times when it comes to streamers, a lot of them will just sort of play their own work or sort of stream their process of making music. I know a lot of electronic people will, you know, flip on Ableton and just sort of play that and kind of go through and show their process of making.
I've watched plenty of Deadmau5 streams watching him do his stuff. They're really interesting. It's so cool to watch his process. So yeah, those are cool too.
For sure.
Yeah.
I guess what got you specifically to start doing the request thing aside? Only because, again, we talk about the whole coffee shop approach and yes, that adds into it that things happen. But you know, usually if a musician comes in a live performance, it's always the, here's my set list and I'm gonna play these songs that I really want to play. But like, what got you to do the whole request side of things?
I kind of do half and half because I mean, I like to do a pretty long stream. Like since I'm only doing it one night a week, I'll probably cut it down a tiny bit when it's more than one. But you know, I was doing like 4-hour streams of this stuff and I had to kind of do a set list in part just because I wanted it to have a certain flow to it, like I would at any live show. Like I've played live shows before and I like to kind of build the setup and, you know, have some slower moments in there and do it like you would, like any band or any performer would do it, so that you're creating, you know, feelings and emotions through the songs and you're letting the songs kind of like tell a story throughout the night. That's kind of a continuing story. And then as I was doing it, people started coming in and saying, "Oh, do you know this artist? Do you know this song? Do you know that?" And I'm playing both originals that I've written and I'm playing covers. And I thought, it doesn't really matter what order I play the covers in. It's not that big a deal. And if it makes somebody happy to come in and say, "Oh, you know, do you know any, you know, songs by Churchers or Owl City or Coldplay?" And I go, "You know what? I do. Let me play a song for you. That'd be really cool." I just think it makes it a lot more fun. And then the other cool thing is like, I'm participating in this because I'm the one creating the music and I'm the one putting on the stream. That lets them participate and they're kind of helping craft the show. Like they're shaping the show with me. And I just think that makes it a lot more fun to do. And I'll have my moments where I'm like, "Okay, guys, I'm going to play you, you know, these three songs in a row because I really just want to. I want you to hear them like this, or here's a new original or whatever." And they're cool with that because they feel like they're part of it, I think. I hope.
Right. And so. even I'm thinking in my head, because like one of the things I always say as a joke to musicians starting out, that if you kind of want to get the audience quickly on your side, you know, play a cover, not because your originals aren't good. It's because a lot of times getting people into a new musician's tricky in that you have to almost kind of like wean them into like this sort of the world.
It's of familiarity.
New. Right.
So, yeah,
exactly. And so, it's, you know, it's a, by playing a cover, it's a quick way of like going, okay, cool. Well, I'm in the show now and I can, you know, be a part of this.
Yep.
Man, that's because it was like those things I picked up immediately watching.
That's so cool. I'm like, it's really nice you pay that much attention to the stream. And I mean, it was cool for me too, because like I said, by the second or third stream, it just hit me right in the heart that people were like, hey, can you play that original you played the other night? And they know, you know, they know the names of the originals. And it was like after three streams and I'm like, whoa, that's kind of amazing. You know, they picked up that quickly on that stuff. And I think it's just because I threw that door wide open and I was just like, I'm happy to see you guys. Like, seriously, honestly, happy to see you. Come on in. Sure, you want to hear a song by so-and-so? Let me play you that. Let me play you something I've written too. And here's another weird cover that you probably never heard of that I'm going to play. Maybe you've never heard of this band. This is cool too.
And I'll joke on the chat room a lot of times because like I'll be there, but it is the bar. It is the coffee shop. And the joke, people are like, I didn't know you were here. It's like, oh, I tend to do what I do in real life, lurk in the coffee shop, kind of, you know, fade in the background, grab a soda, you know, listen to the music, see a friend, say hi, do those sort of things. Like that's me at a concert, if you ever have the luck and opportunity of seeing me at either an indie show or nerdcore show or Japan night or whatever, any of those events that I frequently talk about, you know, every day of the week. It's always things like, I hang in the back or I'm with a friend or everything like that. And usually the only times I'll go forward is when it's like time to go forward. But ultimately, especially when it's that kind of an acoustic setup, which Chrissy tends to play, I'm the guy in the back. Not because I want to be up front and center, but because it's like, no, that's just what I do. I hang back. I look at things. I watch the show. I observe and look around because that's – because, again, for me, music is still this very kind of – not personal thing, but just this sort of thing where I get in the moment. I zone in and sort of listen to what's around me. And that's the one thing like I picked up was that this feel – like it felt – and, yes, it is live performance – but it felt like a live performance. Like it felt like again, an event versus just some musician streaming, which again, everyone has their strategies.
That's good too. Oh yeah. Everyone's different. That's what's cool about, you know, the Twitch music community. After I'd streamed three or four times, I joined the Discord as well. And just, it was so cool to talk to some of the other people and they have completely different approaches to it. And, you know, some of them are kind of doing these really kind of rad left field things where they're like, oh, I'll play a request if you do this, or I'll wear a banana suit. And, you know, they're like way over there doing all this crazy stuff. And then there's people that are just super quiet and just like don't even really talk and chat. They just sit at their desk and just kind of play song after song. And there's so many different approaches to it. There's room for everybody, which is just such a cool thing. And like you were saying about how I did see you kind of lurking in there, and that's perfectly fine because people absorb music differently. Some people like to be right up in the front row watching every guitar chord you're playing, every note you're hitting on the piano, you know, whatever you're doing, they want to be there watching it. Some people are more than happy to be way in the back. Some people like to be in the middle and experience the music while they're talking to their friends about the songs that are going on. So everyone experiences it differently, and Twitch is such so cool because you can just be in any room anywhere in the world and you can be in the front or the back of the room.
And I think that's the cool thing of Twitch is the idea of the virtual thing, I keep saying virtual coffee, you know, shop, because it just seems like the best way to phrase it, especially when it comes to music, because, you know, we talk about Twitch, everyone kind of has a joke of what they call it, whether they call it the friend simulator, if it's sort of a gaming stream, people always joke with that, or if it's the, the talk show like here, it's the talk radio thing and, you know, sort of whatever the hell that means. But the music one is so, like the two ones that fascinate me the most, just because they're so wide open to what they can mean, is music and creative. Because like ultimately creative, I think it's base thing and it's important, because I was, you know, at one point, when it came to people saying like, well, you could just stream under creative when it came to Twitch before they started doing talk and having the sort of thing that we do now. It was like, no, that's not how it works. It specifically has to be, you have to create something. You know, whether it be art, whether it be electronics, even I think at one point even set designs on there.
Yeah.
So it was very, very specific. And music is also specific in that it has to be like this weird performance and creation. And it can't just be you playing, like, it can't just be you like at Ableton hitting play and like, yeah, it's gotta be, there's gotta be some type of interactivity process to it.
Right.
And it's one thing that we don't really get a lot in there, and how you tend to make things interactive in the music world, especially when it comes to like set lists and that, because again, someone's got to come to the chat room like, do you know any, you know, Stevie Nicks? Like, I don't really, you know that. You have to, you know, almost approach it kind of like a cover artist would sometimes, like going like, I don't quite know that song. I guess
that's another interesting trick too, that you bring that up, is that, you know, I mean, as a singer-songwriter, I consider myself an artist, and there's a really weird line between being a singer-songwriter and an artist and just kind of ending up as a jukebox. And I was actually talking with some people on Discord about this a couple of days ago. It's like, the covers are super fun to play. And to me, covers are great because there's so many different reasons. I mean, you're paying homage to an artist that you like, or a song that you love the way it was written. A lot of the covers that I do, I kind of take them and make them my own version. I don't really play them, you know, just kind of like directly as they were written. I'll kind of change them up, or change the instrumentation, or change the arrangement, or change how I'm singing the melody a little bit to honor the song, but still kind of make it a bit my own. And I don't know, it's just weird. You kind of have to be careful, because you don't want to end up just cranking out cover after cover after cover.
Right.
After cover,
like you said, you don't want to be a jukebox.
You don't want to be a jukebox.
And that's always like the tough part when it comes to people that make original compositions. Because again, you know, we talk about live performances, and live performances can be some, you know, anything as complex as your giant studios, your giant like stadium shows and your those kind of productions, to something as simple as the cover band at your local, you know, bar.
Right.
And they all serve different purposes, you know, like they all serve different certain things and schemes. They all, you know, are figuring that out. Cause again, like I always feel like the cover artists are the hardest ones sort of to be, because you have to be this almost, you know, physical jukebox, and that can be daunting, because it's like, you know, music changes, and what's popular tends to change all the time.
Right.
And what crowd you are.
Like, and that's part of why I don't want to do them too exact, because I don't want people to come in and expect that the exact version of the song sang the exact same way. That's not what I'm doing. It's the covers are kind of like a bridge to, you know, hi, I'm meet me, please. My name's Christy, and I'm a singer, songwriter, musician. And here's a little bridge to come on over and learn what I'm doing. That's kind of what the covers are for me. But yeah, I mean, a cover artist has it tough, because so many people, I mean, I'm sure you've had this experience. You've been somewhere, there's a cover band, and you hear them playing the song, and you hear somebody go, that's not right. They didn't play that quite right.
The joke I always think of, and this is an old movie, but we're talking cover artists. I always think of specifically the scene from the Blues Brothers, where they're like, it's the first act, but they like sneak into another like venue under another band name, and all they play is Rawhide, because that's the only song that they know that would connect with his audience. And it's just literally every song is Rawhide, which is bizarre and strange. It's a great scene in that movie, you know, next to the car chase. But I always feel like that's the hard part, because everybody, like, when it comes to covers of songs, I've when you're in the video game community and the video game music community and the Overclock Remix community, you get used to what a cover should be.
Yeah.
In that, I don't think a cover should just be simply a beat for beat performance of the song.
Right.
I believe it should be, here's a song that I heard. I'm going to filter it through my experience and my musical type and do that. Which I guess leads into a question, because I know you're, you know, we mentioned before, Christy does a lot of acoustic stuff. Do you find certain songs more challenging to perform acoustic versions of versus other ones? I know you, like, you know, we talked about the cover side of things, and for those who've never seen your stream, there is a list of, here's what I know, you know, of my own original stuff, here's what I know of sort of covers, and the list is varied from things like Massive Attack, which is more of a trip-hop band, to more acoustic stuff and everything else. Do you find it challenging to kind of figure out what songs to do, or is it just like, well, that seems like an interesting song, I like that song, and just go with it?
Oh, no, there's a lot more behind it than that. I mean, if you think I take a lot of time just on the lights in the background, you should see the process that goes into the songs. I've got a huge list of songs that I just like to sing, and or maybe have sung, you know, with other projects or whatever. And some of them just don't translate well to guitar. And kind of an old trope of of being a singer-songwriter that you hear is, you know, a song, you know, a song is really good if you can just take an acoustic guitar and strip it down to just the melody and the guitar and it works. But some songs now that are maybe electronic based or that have just a ton of instrumentation behind them, songs that are really repetitive aren't so great with an acoustic guitar because you're just singing the same phrase over and over and over and over. You don't have all the drums in the background and the keyboards and the dynamics, and it just gets really boring really fast. Well, so you have to be really particular about what you're translating through, and that's why I'm going to be adding instruments to the show.
Yeah, because like one of the, you know, and I told this before, every time I talk about Japan Night as an event, but like one of my my most famous, the moment I always pitch it with, it was a live bluegrass act from Tokyo playing a cover of Daft Punk's One More Time in bluegrass form, which is, again, crazy, but that's music. But even then, like, that's a challenge. That takes an idea of like, well, how would this sound if done in a bluegrass? Because you have to still kind of follow the sort of, you have to, for lack of better words, you have to follow the same big beats. I realize there's a play, you know, pun in this case, but, you know, you have to, like, you can't, for example, really change the lyrics too much. Like, you, if you're doing a song, you know, everyone knows the lyrics to X, Y, or Z, that everyone has their favorite lyrics to the song. You can't really change that. You have to kind of keep the general melody. Like, you can't change that because then it's like you're making a new song.
Then it's unrecognizable. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But it's still going, and like, what's, you know, like, how do you tweak it a little bit here? And do you feel like it being acoustic kind of gives you that advantage already, just because a lot of songs, like we're talking about, are either electronica or instrumental, you know, have a lot more, you know, instruments around them or different kind of effects. Do you feel because you're doing it more on a primarily acoustic gives you a little bit of an advantage when it comes to trying to interpret things that way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple just off the top of my head. The Church's song Under the Milky Way is a synth-based song. It's all synthesizers, you know, for the most part. I play that on acoustic, and it comes out really cool because I figured out some chord voicings that kind of echo the synth sounds, but it's different. It's on acoustic. I do Gnarls Barkley's Crazy on an acoustic guitar, which sounds weird when you think the concept might sound weird, but, you know, it I think it turns out okay, and it's really fun to sing. So I think it's just a matter of experimenting. And I'll tell you, though, Roberto, I've probably gone through 30, 40 songs over the past month and tried them, you know, prior to the stream and been like, nope, doesn't work. And just, I like the song. It's a great song. That's not going to work for the stream. It's just not, just doesn't work.
Well, because the only reason I even asked that is just because, like, one of the features you have on the stream is, you know, you have a list of things you can play, and there'll be this sort of chat thing saying, like, don't see a song you like? Well, throw a suggestion here and we'll see if I can, what I can do with it.
Yeah.
Has there been suggestions, and I ask this because, you know, I look at that list and I always like, oh, I mean, I want to suggest something, but I don't know if this is what she wants to go for or things like that. What has been the most off the wall suggestion in terms
Slayer.
Of Slayer?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I kind of want to hear that acoustic. I'm curious now.
But see, I don't know any Slayer songs, and it's tough because, again, like we were talking about earlier, music is such a personal thing, and I do want suggestions from people. I've actually added probably 4 or 5 songs to the set list just from the chat alone. You know, there was a song. I've got 2 amazing mods in my chat, Bobcat and Tondagasa, and they're fantastic. They're like super friendly. They're just right on it all the time. They're great. And Tondagasa said, "Oh, there's a song by the Sundays that I like. She's like a '90s kind of." Just kind of folk rock band, and I completely had forgotten about the band. I thought, oh, I forgot about them, and went and dug it out, and it's like one of the favorite songs of, you know, the audience on the set list now, and that's something that someone suggested to me. At the same time, coming back to being, as you know, Roberto, because you're an artist as well in your own field, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So coming back to like me as an artist, there's just stuff that maybe there's maybe topics I don't really feel comfortable singing about. You know, if it's a really screamo kind of song, that's not me. I really don't want to do that. And if I can take something that, you know, the core of the song is maybe interesting lyrically, or it's got a melody that I really like, and I can kind of break it apart and make something cool out of it, I'll try that. I've tried it with a bunch of the suggestions. 4 or 5 of them worked. Some of them didn't. I probably won't be singing Slayer anytime soon.
No, I think that's important to explain, because a lot of times, like, we talk about music being personal, but it's also certain things really are. I mean, put it this way: you can make a cover of anything in any format you like. That's you know, I a lot of my friend Amanda Lepree of Descendants of Erdrick, she has her own kind of solo thing where she does a lot of her own acoustic sets. And she does a lot of video game stuff and her own interpretations too, and custom songs, kind of done that as well. But, you know, you can make anything acoustic. You can make anything electronic. If anything's taught me anything, that's just the way nature of music. That being said, certain things have to be within your repertoire of all those sort of things. You know, the idea of,
yeah,
you know, you can't simply say, like, if you're not a Slayer person or you've never heard Slayer, it's like, it's hard to understand what that song would mean to you. And that's why I ask these questions, because I'm like, man, a lot of times I'll listen to someone perform and I'll say, I wonder what their goals are. I wonder what they're trying to do. And obviously in your case, it's the covers are the bridge into this greater world of Chrissy Kate's performances. And it's like, okay, well, she does acoustic stuff. She has a sort of trend of things. Maybe I should suggest X acoustic song. Maybe I should suggest X, certain song.
But no, that's kind of like almost too limiting, because I think part of what's good about saying, about opening it up and saying suggest whatever the heck you want is, one, you don't want to insult people's what they like in music, because music means so much to so many people. Who am I to say, Slayer means nothing to me? And it's not even that. It's just that I don't have any experience with them.
Right.
Maybe any song by Slayer I've heard has not resonated with me as of yet, so I can't relate to it. Therefore, performing it would be kind of weird, so I just choose not to do that. It doesn't mean Slayer is a bad band.
And that's important to state. That does not mean any of this.
No.
And it's music is this one thing that everyone, like, until you get older and you start to realize the world of music is this vast and grand thing.
Oh yeah.
Because if you talk to younger version of me, I would say if it wasn't punk or electronic, I can get the get the fuck out of here type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, majority of my music was like Rancid and NoFX and Prodigy and freaking whole lot of Underworld.
Well, and you go through phases with music too, where you might like a certain genre or like a certain clump of bands, and then 10 years later you go, was I really listening to that?
Recently have I got really deep back into hip hop in the way that I probably was always into hip hop, but just never quite realized it, because you had a brother that played a lot of rap and gangster rap and things like that. I'm like, I don't really like this, but I do like this Tupac song, or I do like this this Biggie song, I do like this. And as I've gotten deeper and deeper with sort of friends and getting into nerdcore and kind of talking to a lot of different producers and things like that, like, I've gone through that idea of things like that. And one of my all-time favorite artists, Cornelius, basically, for those who've never heard of him, the Japanese Beck, just released a new album in Japan. It's coming stateside soon. It's like this amazing thing, and it's
oh, cool.
It's beautiful and stuff like that. And it's the first one since like 11 years from now. But even in that regard, I have friends who, when they're in town, we go to see KMFDM, and all of my friends are into that weird German band still. But you talk about people like, KMFDM, who's that? I go, you ever see Mortal Kombat? Like, yeah, that Juke Joy. Oh, that's them. It's like, yeah, like you always had to kind of preface it with certain like things and stuff like that. It's funny to see music that way and to talk to somebody that, as her own sort of artist and her own performance, how you put that bridge, because not a whole lot of singer-songwriters are putting this bridge out where they're doing their own sort of things, and at the same time doing covers in the here's the friendly, here's the candy before the medicine sort of thing, if that makes any sense.
I hope it's not medicine, though.
And I still say medicine, I mean more of the, because I always say, I take my friend Raheem Megaran has always kind of said to, I don't know if he's ever said this in an interview or whatnot, but the idea of, I think he might have said it on mine even, where, the video game beats are sort of the candy, sort of the thing that gets you hooked in there, because we all know kind of video game stuff like that. But the lyrics are the medicine, are the thing that's like, oh, wow, that's really thought-provoking. Because when you zero in on those sort of things, lyrics, performance, things like that, because even like as much as I know the covers of stuff, like hearing your songs, I was like, I'm kind of curious what those are. And people were requesting, like, okay, cool. Because again, I like lurking. I like kind of seeing what.
Yep.
Well, because I'm always of this mindset, and you can chime in if you're similar or different. I'm always of the mindset of I want to let the musician. My brother has his concept when it comes to like wine and chefs and food is let the chef decide. He's got this plan, and he or she has this plan in mind. Let them be the thing that's going to do it, because they know what they're doing, and they are experts in this, and I'm going to surrender myself to them. And I've always taken the approach of music, having so many friends do so many different things and being to so many different live performances of varying kinds and various genres. I'll throw in, with certain friends, I was like, man, it'd be cool if I heard this song live, but I don't know. I'll know, like, maybe that song's not really great live. It's one of my favorite songs, but I know it's not going to work too well here.
Right.
But I've gotten to the point of like, just let the set list be the set list. And I guess it's – so – but doing that in perspective and hearing, you know, you play your personal stuff, I go, wow, I wish she would play more of her solo stuff just because that seems interesting. And I've not heard that yet.
Oh, that's nice. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's kind of the point. I'm kind of working the originals in slowly just because, you know, I mean, for me, Twitch is a really new thing too, in that I just had to get used to streaming live. And something else that came up in the Discord again was people were talking about, you know, hey, what do you guys do? And, you know, you've got like maybe a chat of really cool people and they're active and they're talking. And that's all great. It's fine. But you end a song and you hit that last chord and you hit ping, and then just, you know, in your flat, in your house, whatever, it's complete dead silence. You know, you don't even hear like a little.
Yeah, you know, but that's the one that's thing. Like, how do you?
It's a really odd thing to see. And someone in the Discord said, oh, well, I just, in my head, I just hear, you know, I hear I'm in Wembley Arena, you know, I'm in, you know,
there's
I'm
this,
in Madison Square Garden, I'm here.
There's this Japanese program that a lot of the Japanese chiptunes people use called Twitcast. It's sort of a streaming program. One of my favorite, it's the only chiptune show I listen to almost weekly. It's actually run by the one of the guys from YMCK. It's called YMCK Family Radio Show. If you caught me do the whole New Year's stream for Diamond Club, yeah. Mine was a tribute to that show because it was silly. Oh, okay. Kind of thing. It was like a radio show, you know, tribute show, whatever. Because I was like, fuck, have fun with this. but within that application, and I think this is where the chat room becomes that virtual thing. Within the application, you can like throw a couple of bits in a certain way and have it put a clap on the screen. It looks kind of visually and things like that. And I think that's where we're starting to see now with emotes and subscriptions. Like mm-hmm. I know you, for example, have the bitch, you know, cup, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's other kind of stuff. I think that's where we're starting to see this almost virtual clapping. Because I noticed like in your chat room, people will use like octopuses and other weird sort of strange, you know, whatever emotes they have to form this. And it's just like, well, that's kind of strange. You know, what is that? You know, how do you simulate that in a concert kind of thing?
Well, they actually take some, it's really cute. They take some of the emoji and they make them kind of do this back and forth. So they're dancing to the song. So there is activity when you get done with the song. It's just like audio wise is weird as a performer because you don't hear anything at all. And then you have to fill that space with talking. And that's the part that was tough for me, was to not make it awkward. You don't want to sound like you're suddenly like a salesperson or something, like, you know, hey, thanks for coming on down to the show. You don't want it to sound like that.
Yeah, because you still because again, that's not the coffee shop approach. That's not what you do. You know,
right.
That's not what happens when you're at a live performance. You're like, you know, thank you. And then you like, you know, you tune your guitar and kind of that.
Right.
There's like a subtle clap. You know, you hear the rustling of cups and, you know, steamers and everything else like that. Like there's a really, there's an album. I think the Square had made it. Oh, I think it's Square. And it might be on the US side. I know it's on the Japanese side of mm-hmm. things, but it's just basically, it's called like Final Fantasy Coffee Shop. And it's like all sorts of Final Fantasy music as if it were played in a coffee shop.
Oh, that's
like it
cool.
feels like music that you'd hear at a coffee shop. And it's bizarre and strange. It's like, I've never heard the fight music done in this weird format.
That's cool.
But yeah, the same accord, and that's not unusual for Square to do this. There's actually a really cool Final Fantasy IV album they'd made, and I don't even know who the official band is that did it, but because there's a lot of weird Celtic undertones within mm-hmm. Final Fantasy IV in terms of certain characters, they actually have a Celtic version of a lot of the FF music, and it sounds kind of weird and fascinating to hear like
that's
kind
cool.
of performance style of things. But again, that's... It's those sort of things that I'm glad, you know, we're almost at the hour mark, we're almost out of time for the real show. it's those sort of subtle things that I tend to dig with what you're doing. Because I think ultimately any musician, and this is not a slight to any musician, if you're perform, you know, you're already even better than I am. You're already braver than myself if you're able to perform this. Only because I've had the opportunity to be on a stage doing something at Square Sounds Japan. Ran and asked me to sort of be on stage filming it and sort of recording for video's sake. And
cool.
I got to kind of experience the other side of stage performances, because usually I'm in the audience going, yeah, and doing all the motions and things like that versus being on the stage. And when I saw that sort of side of things, like there's this energy that comes from the audience when you're there mm-hmm. physically. And it's a weird kind of feeling that's just like, wow, I understand why you do this. I could never do this because this is
really
I could do live stuff.
Yeah.
I could be MC. Mm-hmm. I could do that kind of thing. Cause that's that's who I am. I like sharing music. I like expressing things. I like saying, here's somebody cool that you all should listen to, or here's someone awesome, someone far more better than I am, because that's the cool part about being MC is that you're just here to kind of, you know, shuffle people around and
the guide.
You're the guide into this weird, you know, madcap thing event. And that seems interesting to me. Like, that kind of role has always been, you know, my dream of something. Like, if I were ever to do something, I would love to have that kind of set. But that being all said, I have no desire to perform. I have no desire to be a musician, no desire to be, you know, another nerdcore rapper, sort of things. Because, again, that's not my role in this.
Yeah.
But that being all said, I like, especially when it comes to Twitch, I think the hard part, and I think what your approach is so unique, is that you're trying to go, how do I take that very, very much in real life experience that, you know, I think Adafruit, they always talk about the idea of using the internet to kind of reach more people, you know, whether it be through conferences or interviews or whatever. You know, they'll stream everything they do, from like products to soldering and shit like that. And I think that a lot of music people don't quite do this, because it's such a hard thing. They'll stream like, hey, I'm playing at the show at this bar, I'm doing this. But no one goes and says, how do I take that experience and replicate that virtually wholesale, and say, how do I make this what is typically perceived as a in real life or in person event,
right?
And virtualize it in a interesting, cool way. And I think that's what I like about your approach of doing it, because not a whole lot of people are doing that way. People are doing music. People are performing. Oh, yeah. People are taking requests too, and having all that kind of interactivity. That's part of Twitch. But very few that I've experienced doing the music thing are saying, how do I virtualize this experience and make it so that everybody who here is in chat feels like they just were at a concert, and that this is the coffee shop that we all met at today, that we all kind of, you know, that, you know, the Max or whatever it is, you know, your local your local establishment that you're always there, the pub. And here is, you know, tonight's performer is Christy Cates at, you know, and it's just virtual experience. It's, you know, you have your regulars, you have friends. Cause like I'll see you on stream. It's like, oh, good to see you, you know, so-and-so or hey, glad you came back, X, Y, or Z, or that kind of thing. I was like, oh, hey, you're new, welcome. And it's like, we're at, you know, I just walked in the coffee shop. It's like, hey, good, glad you made it. You know, sit on down, have a frap and listen to some amazing music. And it's strange for me to say these things, because I'm so used to saying these are the things you have to experience in real life. But, and I mean, I say real life, meaning not in a streamed format. But
I know what you mean. I'm just so happy to hear you saying this, because I mean, that's the intention for the stream. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, I'm only on like my fifth one so far. So if the goal that I set for it even has just gotten this far, where, you know, someone like you, you're very tuned into the internet world and you're kind of getting what I'm trying to do, that's good. That means that's getting across that welcoming feel to it, and that, you know, that is maybe a little bit more than me just sitting in my living room playing music. I'm trying to make it a little more immersive for people and a little more participatory, and have them feel like they're part of it. And like I said, that they're kind of helping shape the show in a way. And I actually do remember people when they come back in. I remember their names, and I remember that they were there, you know, before, and I recognize them. And
right, but I mean, it's that idea of like, it's the oh, welcome back, you know, good to see you again, you know, and you're performing next week. Like it's Saturday night, and it's like, what are you doing Saturday night? I'm gonna go see, you know, my friend play, or I'm gonna go see, you know, I'm gonna go watch my friend play. Oh, where's she playing at? She's playing her Twitch channel. Huh? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like that's the event. Like it's Saturday night, and it's Christy Cates set. And it's, you know, Christy Cates at the local, you know, I don't want to say Starbucks, because Starbucks isn't local, but that idea, you know, where it's something that I never thought you could replicate in a digital format. I always thought that this purely had to be like, you just had to be there kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like it's always been the music thing where it's like, you have these stories you tell, and it's like, you just had to be there. But somehow, Christy, you have figured out elements that go into that, because it was a, for me at least, and maybe that's just because I've been to these things, it was apparent, like, from minute one, like, oh, okay, she has this, she has an idea in mind. You know, there's this reverb, there's this backdrop, there's this, all these things that go into it. And, like, all these things feel familiar because I've been to these real life things. I've been to, you know, the random place, the you know, shady bar, the dive, all these different places. And, like, honestly, one of my favorite experiences was in Yokohama when Megaran and I think Doug Funny and then Mitch Miranda, the three guys basically I was with the whole trip, from my trip in Tokyo, were playing at a, you know, rap thing. And before that was a Japanese rap battle, which was like, bizarre, cool. And awesome. It was bizarre and strange. It was cool. And it was like this unique thing because, like, we walk into the bar. I walk into the bar before I went to get some food with them, and they're playing, you know, I think they're playing Straight Outta Compton, the movie. Like, they're playing that on the projector, and I'm like, this is awesome. I'm like, well, this is weird and strange, but cool. And it was this very unique concept. And
yeah.
And here I am in Yokohama, and it's like, it wasn't like a big place. It was just like small little dive bar kind of thing. And it's just like, yeah, this, I guess this is what the hip hop place is in Yokohama is, or the one we found, or the one I'm playing at, or the one my friends are, basically. And it's cool to, you know, to be able to go in real life for sure. But it's cool to see, here is my friend figuring all that out, but how to reach the widest audience possible and yet still make it feel intimate.
Well, thank you. I'm actually so happy that you're saying this stuff. I'm very grateful that it's coming. If it's coming across to people like that, that's amazing after like a month of doing this. And I'm just really happy to hear that. So truly, thank you. That's really, really cool.
Christy Cates, cool, always a pleasure to have you on the show,
whether
we talk about music or future product chains. Let's say people actually want to now catch the live streams and want to actually go and experience it themselves. Where can people go to experience everything that is the Christy Cates experience? I don't know if that makes any sense. That was a weird way of wording it, but you get the idea.
I get the idea. I have a main website that I'm going to be actually redoing soon. It's just christycates.com. I'm also on Twitter, really active. So if you're looking to find out when I'm going to be appearing on a show like this one or anything else that I do, I'm on Chord Killers pretty often, some other shows like that. That Twitter is a good place to find me. That's also Christy Cates. And then the Twitch show that we've been talking about all stream, which, Roberto, I'm like, again, thank you so much for the promotion of it. I really appreciate it.
Not
it's
even
just twitch.tv/Christy Cates, and my name is spelled KristiKates. So I hope to see some of you guys there. Come on in and hear some music. It'd be really fun.
For
always
sure.
Glad to see new people.
Sure. For sure. Of course, you can find me. I'm at Vincent404. They're in the chat rooms and the Twitters and everything else in between. If you want to catch previous episodes of this podcast, you can go to our website, cosmicradio.tv/8bitlife. There you'll find links to the Twitter account, show notes. And of course, if you want to catch this live, you're watching this pre-recorded or after the fact, you can head over to twitch.tv/cosmicradio.tv. You can also watch on YouTube, youtube.com/cosmicradio.tv. And if for some reason all of those are just not working out for you and you're more of the I got experience it through Facebook, we also broadcast there. Just go to look up My So-Called Hip-Hop Life there and hit that big old follow button on the subscribe thing, whatever the Facebook is, and you'll get notified when we go live because we go a lot. Because Christy, I don't know if you know this, but we, you know, you do the Twitch thing. We do the everything. We don't discriminate against any specific stream. We just kind of go to every one of them and hope one of them hits.
You're
hope that one person
awesome.
Somewhere watches this someplace. That's our mission, is hopefully somebody watches this somewhere.
Awesome.
And of course, after all that, if you have some money left on over, head over to patreon.com/8bitlife. Help the show become bigger, better, and more awesomer. So that is it for today. Until next time, talk to another geek about something completely and utterly random. Hi, people.
This has been a CosmicRadio.tv audio production. For more awesome shows, head on over to our website, CosmicRadio.tv.